The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home, your world is limitless.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Thursday morning. It is also the 17th of September. Just gained a couple of days there, or lost them, depending. I'm sure it was the 15th, but it's not. It is 4 minutes past nine. It's us now till 10 o'clock. You can text us on 51551 or email ryan@rte.ie. Now, thanks to Siobhan upstairs, she did buy me a coffee from the machine for a euro. And the last words I heard as walking downstairs were, "You can revolute me that later." And I thought, isn't it amazing how... You know, I'll send her the euro later. Amazing. It's just, we've become like Patty Hearst with a coffee machine at the moment. We've fallen in love with our captors. We actually nearly prefer the Mancuccino to the cappuccino because it's just become such a thing and a habit. A welcome habit, I have to say. I'm enjoying it immensely. But they think I've lost my mind. In some ways, I have. I think that... When I came across a beautiful branch on my way in from the car this morning, I thought, that's a beautiful branch, and started chopping it up with my foot and knee into six different pieces and putting it in the back of the car. I thought, yes, I have lost it, but it's a beautiful, you know, that kind of mossy green branch. And you just think, that's going to look lovely. And then on the fire, it's going to smell lovely. So it was sitting there for 10 days. No one else was taking it. So these are the things that bring happiness into it. Marie Kondo your way through any given morning. Good news today for book lovers and people who are interested in history and what's happening in the UK, generally speaking. Robert Harris will be joining us live this morning about his new book, V2. Very excited about talking to him. He's one of my favourite writers. And I'm sure many of you have read lots of different books from Mr. Harris. So he's live with us this morning. If you have questions for Robert Harris or thoughts that you'd like to share with him and with us, generally speaking, why don't you send them in to us to ryan@rte.ie or text 51551. The Dubs, we Dubs are going to be in a little bit of bother, I suspect, as of tomorrow with the announcements that we're all awaiting. But there's a very good piece, a lengthy enough piece. I'll try and bring you I'll parse it for you by Catherine Feegan in the Irish Independent today, theindependent.ie, where she goes to talk to a number of doctors about what's happening. Because I was trying to figure out, The language can be kind of like it's transmissions and communities, and I'm kind of, what is that? I've lost track of what it all means, being honest with you. And I'm not thick, but just sometimes I find I'm bamboozled. But this piece kind of breaks it down and explains what's happening. And she writes, the young patients arrive, she's wearing masks and sanitising their hands as they walk through the door. Most of them have travelled in on the Lewis, where they've sat socially distanced from fellow travellers, and they've been careful to limit the surfaces they touch, and they've been working from home for months. They've cancelled trips abroad, and in their own minds, they've acted like the responsible citizens the nation needs. And I think, yes, so why are we where we are today? And yet they're all sitting here in this GP's office, as she says, as it happens, is Dr. Matthew O'Toole. And they're explaining their symptoms. And he says, look, they think that they have, and to be fair, they're doing all the obvious things, the masks and washing their hands. But they're also doing the same one thing that is causing the problem. They're gathering with friends in houses and suddenly not doing all the stuff they were doing before. The social distancing, the mask wearing, the hand washing, it all goes out the window. So I'm bringing myself into this. It's like, and I do this too, when you go through someone's door over the threshold, it's like the magic no COVID door. And you think you don't need a mask or to wash your hands because it's my friend's house or my family's house. But actually, it's another household, which makes them strangers. Now, I know that probably sounds really obvious to people, but I needed to see that in plain English. And I'm kind of, oh, right, OK, so that's why we're shutting Dublin down tomorrow. Anyway, let's go on with the articles. It's very clear. He says, the doctor says, what we're seeing is that people aren't picking up COVID in pubs. This is good news. Or restaurants. They're picking it up in each other's houses. So people's homes have become the petri dishes for the spread. How about that? During the first wave, we were seeing pretty much everyone presenting and there was no particular demographic. Now it's different. They're mostly, about 80% are under age 45. And they're young and they're honest with us. This isn't a judgy, pointy thing. He's simply saying, as a matter of fact, and when we ask them about their behaviour, they're very honest. They're socialising and they have a large number of social contacts. And in my opinion, he says, they're picking it up from home settings by having people over. See, the young professionals, who have jobs in tech and banking with offices based in the city centre. As their work environments become their home and their traditional social outlets, the pubs and everything, concerts were shut down or issued with strict conditions on how to operate. Many started hosting intimate dinners and soirees, if you don't mind, at home. So that's what's been happening. And then you've got the 11 o'clock curfew, which is a big disincentive to going to restaurants and pubs for them. It doesn't apply because they're either going to go to the restaurant and go home with a group afterwards, because 11 o'clock is too early for a lot of people, or just stay in and don't go out at all, but stay in and gather and have the Petri dish full of germs and have the crack. So this is what's simply happening. He says the rule is, with masks, is simple. You wear a mask if you can't socially distance, irrespective of whether you know them or if you are in your house or theirs. And that's the problem. He says they're being very honest with me, and they're saying that when they go into someone's house, they don't treat it like they're going into Super Value or Dunn's. The masks come straight off. Social distancing goes out the window. And they're shocked when I tell them, he says, your house is as unsafe as a supermarket if you have strangers in it. Now, note to government and everyone else who's delivering message: be this clear with us and we'll understand more. Simple. Anyway, I've been in restaurants and shops, he says, in the city, and masks are either being worn incorrectly or not worn at all. The mask thing is another problem for all of us, including me. Now, this is me going, you guys. Absolutely. Mask in the pocket, mask reused, mask in the glove compartment of the car. I went for a walk yesterday. I didn't plan to go into a shop, but as it happens, I went into a shopping centre and I went straight to the chemist to buy a mask. And I was explaining to the person behind the counter, I said, it's like when the plastic bags, you know, when I've got a box of plastic bags at home, but I used to always have to buy one. Now it's kind of better than that. And this woman was asking me for a selfie, and she said, don't take the mask off. You don't need a mask. I said, I will be cancelled if I get into a picture with you. But she said, no, no, it is. I said, then you don't have to have the picture, but I'm not taking the mask off. I stood my ground. She took the selfie. She should have known better, Jim Diamond. All right, let's keep going. Other than to say, be careful, Dr. Ray Wally's quote in the article as well, saying older people, it's becoming a problem in terms of COVID spreading. So that's it. I won't go on and on and on. The article is very good. Catherine Fegan, independent.ie. That's where you need to go today if you want a clear take on what the hell is happening. Now, I mentioned my little idea about boutique Christmases, where you have, you know, the few weekends leading up, you might have rather than have a turkey, you might have a chicken. And then on Christmas Day, you have your turkey, Tiny Tim, who did not die. You know, you have your turkey, ultimately, but maybe Paula Lawler might have misread what I was saying, because she sent a very vocal email, which I'm going to share with you now. Dear Ryan, I'm busy here this morning trying to cut the last of our harvest. I was just going to say the throat of our last turkey, but that's just my mind working overtime. It's a gloriously warm day. You can imagine my attention was caught when you mentioned the word Christmas. I tuned in, seriously. You can't begin to imagine my horror when, warming to your theme of pared down Christmas and your series of boutique gatherings, you finish with the final salvo of, you don't need to have turkeys, get the chickens in, or get a small roast. The alarm bells went off in my head, she writes. You see, Ryan, for the last 44 years, I've lived on a farm, married to probably the hardest working farmer you could ever meet. And this is how we make our living. Mainly tillage farming, 26 years. We had to diversify to rear and educate our three children. And so our Bally Brian bronze turkey, brackets free range, business came into being. And this year, also in spite of very uncertain circumstances, we have taken a leap of faith and have the little turkeys running around in our apple orchard, enjoying the windfalls in the late summer sunshine. Please God, in due course, they'll be ready and available for our wonderful, loyal customers who return to us year after year. While most other people are caught up visiting, partying and shopping, we're in the background working tirelessly to ensure the biggest dinner of the year goes off without a hitch. We finish work usually around 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve. Phew. We're a small family business doing the best we can, and like so many others, we have had a tough year. If you banish the turkey, it'll destroy us altogether. We have fought to keep our little corner in spite of multinationals, but I now feel we are facing our biggest threat yet from the Ryan Tuberty Show. If you were beside me, I'd give you a clip in the ear and tell you 'tis far from boutique Christmas as you are reared. Paula, how did you find such time? You're obviously not that hardworking if you're writing big long emails to me. Only joking. Sort of. Let reason prevail and let us have something at Christmas time to which we can all really look forward to. Yours, an annoyed and anxious country listener, Paula Law. Paula, first of all, I loved your email. Secondly, I love you. Thirdly, I love your family. Fourthly, I love the turkeys. Fifthly, I love the idea of turkeys bouncing around the apple orchard. Sixthly, I'm a great fan of the turkey. Seventhly, I didn't say we should ban the turkey. I just said we have a couple of chickens because not everyone can afford turkey every weekend in the run-up to Christmas for their boutique Christmas. Eighthly, long may the turkey survive. Ninthly, God bless your company, which sounds absolutely wonderful, and I will definitely be looking it up on the internet later on. Ballybryan Bronze Turkeys. And tenthly, happy Christmas. 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie if anything else tickles your fancy. And quick one, return to the masks, if I may, because former Rosa Tralee Alicia Brennan was commenting on Twitter that the masking that has to be worn by the frontline services and medical people particularly can be very, very harsh on the face. She posted a photograph of the bruises caused by having to wear PPE, personal protection equipment, for 12 hours at a time. So I'm kind of going into the supermarket going, oh, this thing is on, my glasses fog up and it feels really uncomfortable. Try 12 hours. 12 hours fully masked up against the face. She captioned it. She said, it's day 8 out of 12 on the trot. And my face is battered from PPE. I've turned off my news alerts because I cannot see one more story about people marching in their thousands to protest against wearing face masks. Yeah, thanks for that. Great protesting. And shut down the Capitol. I'm sure you're very proud. All frontline healthcare workers have to wear airtight goggles in hospital settings with N95 masks, full-length gowns and gloves. Doctors like her do 12 days in a row of 12-hour shifts. Wearing that gear? In her case, it's with children as she wants to become a paediatrician. The goggles are necessary because COVID-19 can be transmitted through the eyes. After several hours, the seal made by them starts to hurt and doctors get bruising to the foreheads and the eyes and the nose. She says there's a huge sense of anxiety amongst us in all the healthcare settings coming into the winter, which is the busiest time for public hospitals. Well, we wish her well today. She does great work, and she is a voice for everyone who has to wear that gear. And she's also a very gentle but important reminder for people like me to wear the mask, respect it a little bit more, gripe a little bit less, get on with it, and let's get there together. How about that? Meanwhile, Marie McCarthy, God, we're bouncing all over the place here, but it's good. Marie McCarthy is in the Irish Examiner today because she's been selected as the winner of the National Brown Bread Baking Competition. Love it. Love it. So brown bread, soda bread. Imagine if you're listening to the show this morning from in Melbourne or in Boston and you think, soda bread. It's like a trigger of beauty. It's like a gastronomic trigger that says, home? Yes, it does. Because when it's really fresh and the butter goes on it, and maybe some raspberry jam, and the tea is strong, and a mouse can run across the top of it, where else would you be? Right there. Beautiful. There. Lost myself there. Mary McCarthy is a Carrigaline baker and has won €15,000, and her award-winning loaf, this has to be one of the most Irish awards of all time. It's going to be available in 143 Aldi stores across the country. Normally we celebrate this on the Late Late Show, and we give a loaf of bread to everyone in the audience. It's like something out of Les Mis. A loaf of bread for you all. But unfortunately, this time it's not going to happen because we're in the middle of a pandemic. Just a little reminder there. I'm here to remind you, Alanis. The competition, which is run by the supermarket in association with the National Ploughing Association and the Irish Country Women's Association, an organisation I particularly love, received over 7,000 entries this year. Wow. Wowzers. Very best of luck to, this is St Andrew's College sent out a tweet to their pupil, Neil Ferrugia and Shamrock Rovers, in their Europa League qualifier against AC Milan this evening. And picture attached. Good man. Best of luck to Neil and Shamrock Rovers. That is an exciting night and for everyone involved, and a bit of international frisson in the air when you see that. So good luck to everyone involved. Penguin Books Ireland, meanwhile, are over the moon that Richard Osman is number one. We featured Richard on the programme with his book, The Thursday Murder Club, and you loved it. Got great feedback about that. And it is doing very, very well. And Richard Osman tweeted back saying, "Ireland, I love you. Always have, always will. Can't wait to come over and see you as soon as we're all allowed." Great book. I loved it. Loved it. Loved Horowitz. Loved that. Loved Louise O'Neill's new book. There's some great stuff doing the rounds at the moment. And I started last night with Bob Woodward's book, Rage, about Donald Trump. And here's what I'll say. I'm only about 40, 50 pages in. It is a journalistic delight, but you need to know your American politics to be into it. Okay, because it's not gossipy like Michael Wolff's book. This one is a bit more now. You need to be kind of have CNN on a lot. So just be forewarned about that. And if that's your bag, you're going to love it. It's very well written. He's in the room. And I love books like that. Like, the detail is gorgeous. So that's Woodward. And that's my weekend now set up. I'm looking forward to it. And beyond, because I'll read it. Slow enough reader, as it happens. Right. Where else have we got? We've got so much to do today. Let's keep an eye on this. I want to make a special reference, by the way, to Joe Grogan, who I met before. Lovely man. Spoke to him on the Late Late Show, talking about their son, Shane, who suffered a brain injury following an attack in 2012. Desperate story. He says, "Unfortunately, our annual Family Day fundraiser had to be cancelled this year. We're replacing it with a virtual balloon race." Why wouldn't you? Good man, Joe. "It starts on Saturday." That's this weekend. "Could you give it a mention?" I sure could. And it's good to talk to you. And listen, the very best. Lots of love to you and your family. We met in May 2019, and Shane had been hit with a brick on the back of his head and suffered a severe acquired brain injury. Can you imagine? And it's such a cruel, cruel thing, senseless thing. But we wish you the Grogans well, and please get involved in the virtual balloon race if you can, a fundraiser for Shane. And it's a lovely thing to do. And if you can, go for the race for Shane, rentaballoonrace.com. You'll find it if you search hard enough. No question about it. Why? When you turn 100 in Japan, right? In Ireland, you turn 100, you get a letter from the president and a few quid, right? So if you're in Japan and you turn 100, what they used to do is they give you a letter of congratulations from the prime minister and you get a silver sake cup. Beautiful silver cup that you say, "Thank you. From the nation for your contribution to society," made of sterling silver. But in 2016, they said, the authorities said, stop. I said, "Well, stop what? Stop making the cups with the sterling silver. Why? There are 100. We need to celebrate them." "No, it's too expensive." "But there can't be that many of them." "That's the point. We have to downgrade it to a silver plated version. They're all living too long. We're running out of, it's too expensive. There are too many 100-year-old Japanese people running around the place, fit as fiddles. We can't, that's too much silver." So they stopped. So from 2016 on, you hit 100, you get silver plate. It's just complete. You're robbed. But they get it anyway. And there's a piece today trying to figure out, so what are they doing in Japan to stay alive for so long? Turns out it's a healthy diet rich in rice and vegetables. Plus later retirement, which I think is really interesting. Because I know so many people who wish they didn't have to be forced to retire so early. Later retirement, exercise, it's a given, and involvement in their community, which is lovely. People often say when they get older, they love hanging out with younger people, makes them feel young. And I'd say there's great truth in that. Some research also cites the Japanese government's investment in public health in the 50s as having bred a society that is hygiene conscious and has embraced a healthy lifestyle. How about that? So get stuck into your fermented soy products later, lads. You'll be going all the way to the Oris for your 100th birthday. With the love out, looking for a check. And silver-plated, hopefully, a sake cup, because it's a good sign. You know, when you go into silver-plate sake cups for centenarians, things are looking good. You're surviving. Saturday Night Live comes back. Now, you know that if you watched it, Alec Baldwin does a very impressive impression of Donald Trump. And now, for Joe Biden, they've drafted in Jim Carrey as Joe Biden. I'd be intrigued to see how that works out. Right, that's enough of all that. I think what I'm going to do now is tell you about our competition, because I suspect so many of you around the country would love, only love, to go on a holiday in Ireland, which is great. And we have a great competition with originalirishhotels.com, which is terrific. And they have been giving away vouchers worth €500 for two people every day to stay in one of their 60 unique owner-run hotels located in Ireland's most outstanding destinations. So if you fancy that, give us a call. 1850-715-900 is the number. Said with zero confidence because I just remembered it towards the end of it. 1850-715-900 is the number. Give us a call and you could be heading off on a beautiful holiday with OriginalIrishHotels.com. That's clever, isn't it? Because somebody just texted into 51551 to say on the bread pricing, no prizes for the bread because of the pandemic. You can have that for nothing, lads. That's pretty good. I'm impressed. I'm very impressed. It's about time we were told mask wearing should be mandatory in houses. Oh, I don't know if we've been told that yet, but I think what we need to do is, and I don't know if it's a late thing, but will you tell me, do you want it, or would it drive you mad to be told again? But I think we need a 5-minute crash course on how to wear a mask, honestly. Because apparently you have to sanitize the hands before you touch it, and then you touch it. I think so. Even if we don't do it in a late show, I need to find out more for myself because I think I'm getting it all wrong. Dublin people are getting lots of advance notice. Unlike Kildare, Laois or Offaly did, it's enough time to get out of Dublin for the weekend, at least with lovely weather forecast. I think this increases the risk of the virus spreading more. There's truth in what you say. I think if you're going to shut it down, shut it down. If you're going to shut it down, shut it down. Have confidence in your decision, even if it's a difficult one. Just do it. Fair point, 9:24, yeah. Swam and Freedom at 9:28. I don't want to waste any time because we have Robert Harris standing by to talk about so many things, including his new book, V2. Let's get straight down to that after this.